My name is Anne, and I've been asked to talk about the trials and setbacks of life and how faith grows. I'm using Psalm 91 as a foundation, so please use the printed sheets as I speak. So Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The psalmist starts with worship of the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord. We need to begin anything, any day, any activity, any season, by acknowledging God's awesome, ineffable glory, power, righteousness, and sovereignty over the world and over us, over me. We need to worship Him. It is the first call on our lives. Please look at the verses I've quoted from Leviticus and 1 Peter. I'm just going to read a couple. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then the New Testament, it is written, be holy, because I am holy. It is important to recognise who God is. The holiness of God is beyond human capacity to comprehend fully, but it's a fundamental truth, and we need to do our best to understand that so that we build a firm foundation for our trust and faith in Him, and also that we understand better the call on our lives to be holy. Worship helps us to do all that. In verses 3 and 4, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. We're called to look back, to remember, to recall all the ways in which our Father God has saved, healed, protected, rescued us, and brought us peace. Through Moses, God told the people He was forming to be His own to remember how He'd rescued them from oppression and slavery. That verb remember appears 15 times in Deuteronomy alone and over 200 across the Bible. So it is significant. God repeats Himself a lot in order to help us understand. Remembering like this will help us with our other daily exercise, saying thank you. I've found it a very useful way of gaining perspective and moving my focus away from inevitable niggles, bad moods, woe is me thoughts and attitudes. Can you please ponder the quotes from Isaiah and John that I've given you? I'll just read the New Testament one. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Then, verses 5 to 13, we get to the meat of the matter. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Here we have the problems of life. These particular problems may not be ours, but the emotions and responses are the same now as then. And I've found that the three daily exercises, worship and thanksgiving, help my mind, heart and will to be in a better position to face life's difficulties and obstacles, and to choose to trust God and his promises. Please have a look at the Deuteronomy quote. It's quite a long one, but it is a promise by God to keep us. But it is always a choice to choose to believe God's promises and to believe him. Often our default position is to panic, start planning, thinking, doing stuff in order to cope or to change things or protect ourselves or to pretend the problem's not there. In other words, to do it our way. Very often it can be hard to choose God's way. It can be hard to acknowledge God, to thank him, to ask for provision, protection, wisdom, a miracle, ask him to sort things out, and then leave it with him. I have asked for all these things when I faced really big issues, as well as insignificant sounding ones like finding a parking space or looking for something I've lost. I've lived a long time, so the list of difficult, painful, seemingly impossible situations I've experienced is long, and describing them all would take too much time. So I'm going to mention some of the categories of obstacles or difficulties or situations which I've faced and many of you will have faced or will face. Things like finding a job, finding somewhere to live, dealing with money, pressures at work, family pressures and family disappointments, my husband's depression, and then his three subsequent, quite separate, major health issues, the last of which led to his death and my being on my own. I'm happy to talk about any of these things if it's helpful for anyone. Just need to ask me. The thing is, though, that it's only when we are in a position where we are helpless, where we know we can't fix something, can't manage, that God is able to demonstrate his love, his grace, and his power. So these hard times are when we can learn to trust God more, when our faith can grow. But we have to choose to embrace them, to give God control, and therefore enable our faith to deepen. And finally, the last two verses. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. These verses lead us back to the Deuteronomy chapter 11 quote. So please look back at the quote again. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. I'm going to tell you about the last time I had to make that hard choice in an extremely painful situation. When it became obvious that Terry was coming to the end of his life, I knew in my heart that I had to say to the Lord, "You are enough." And I couldn't. I kept asking God to help me, but I just couldn't. Until eventually I managed it, but without too much conviction. But one of the wonderful things about God is that he understands and he's merciful and delighted when the intention of our heart is for him. Our Father God knew the intention of Peter's heart as he waited in the high priest's courtyard while Jesus was being harangued by the Jewish leaders. And even though his courage failed at that moment, God honoured him and made him a leader among the disciples. So the amazing thing is that God has blessed me enormously since Terry's death and has enabled me to build a new life with experiences and opportunities I'd never have thought possible. I know the Lord will never let me down. I know he'll rescue me from my mistakes and from the things beyond my control. And I am humbled by his care for me. So to sum up, acknowledge and worship God. Give him thanks and praise. And memorize the verses above from Isaiah and John 14.